Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with solid roots in the community and a partnership with the official disaster preparation establishment. Our producer is founder and president of the local Manhattan Beach CERT Association and the Red Cross's community ambassador to Manhattan Beach, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. I am fine. I'm better. I'm
good.
I'm alive.
Yes, you are. And
I haven't been for a few weeks. What can I say?
And, of course, with us today is owner, producer, writer of South Bay by Jackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm well this morning, Joe. And, George, I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, we very much need you back in the saddle, George. So
yeah, I've fallen off a few times. Now, I haven't fallen off the wagon, but I have fallen out of the saddle a few times during the last few weeks.
Stay in that wagon. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. We're excited to talk to our guest today because, you know, beyond disasters, beyond getting prepared, we have a lot of people here to protect us, and we're going to talk to someone like that. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Chris Rusin. Chris is a sergeant with the Torrance Police Department and began his law enforcement career with the City of Hawthorne in 1992. He currently serves as the Community Affairs Supervisor for the Patrol Bureau, where he supervises and manages police officers, service officers, cadets, volunteers, and police explorers assigned to the Community Affairs section. Chris attended UCLA, earning a BA in psychology, and received a Master's of Science in Negotiation and Conflict Management from Cal State Dominguez Hills. Now, we've all heard the phrase, see something, say something. And this morning, Officer Rosen is going to explain exactly what that means and the important role we as citizens play in the safety of our own communities. Welcome to the program, Chris. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, George. Appreciate you guys giving the opportunity to speak with you all.
Well, we're excited to talk with you, Chris. One of the things that we talk a lot about in preparing for disaster, of course, preparing for the big one, is we try to get people prepared with enough water and enough food and their medicines and so forth to wait it out, because we know that you guys are going to be very, very busy in a disaster like that. But we wanted to talk, and we're so glad to have you, about the little disasters that affect us on a regular basis. We can start off, Chris, because there's a lot of news that we're going to talk about. Give us an idea, because this is one of the major crimes here in the South Bay. We're blessed to live in a relatively peaceful area, but one of the bigger crimes of note in the South Bay are robberies and burglaries. Can you describe the difference between those two?
Absolutely. A robbery is when somebody comes or a person takes a person's property either through force or fear, meaning that a person can come up to the street and demand, you know, your wallet or demand, you know, a personal item. And because of force, they take it from you, or fear because you're scared of them, you give them that and then they flee the area. Hmm. A burglary is when somebody enters a residence, right, in a way to commit a theft, a grand theft.
Right.
So there's a difference. Obviously, a robber we look at as someone physically taking something from you. And what has been occurring lately, the residential burglaries are people that are entering these homes and taking personal property and then fleeing the location.
Right. Unfortunately, a lot of people know that the South Bay is a wonderful place to live, unfortunately.
Yes.
And those people that don't live here but that know that the South Bay is a wonderful place to live, they figure we have nice stuff.
And correct.
They come and they want to take it. What can you give us a from your perspective with the Torrance PD? Can you give us some scale to the problem? Are we talking about one or two things that happen a year? What are we talking about?
Well, it goes really beyond that. I mean, you mentioned earlier that that there has been an increase in residential burglaries and then residential robberies, or not residential robberies, but in robberies. And I can speak in behalf of the Torrance Police Department. Actually, our robberies have gone down this year. But our residential burglaries, as well as all South Bay agencies, have increased. And the reason why the Torrance Police Department feels that that has occurred is because of Assembly Bill AB 109. Are you familiar with that?
We have
oh,
heard
yes.
about it, but we haven't talked about it extensively yet. Give us an overview, have we?
Okay, great. Well, in April 2011, Governor Brown signed into law AB 109. It's basically the Criminal Justice Realignment Plan, which took effect October 1st of 2011. And basically what ended up happening is this decision caused the release of thousands and thousands of prisoners to be released early. With AB 109, certain laws have changed. Where residential burglary used to be a major crime per se, is now it's not. So we have people that know that if they commit a residential burglary or any kind of theft, that the time that they're going to do is very minimal. So let me give you an example, and I talk about this at our neighborhood watch meetings. So you have thousands and thousands of prisoners that are released into, you know, the population. Mm-hmm. And they know through their networking that if they commit a residential burglary, that the crime that they may be punished with, that's if they're caught, is very, very minimal. I always talk about, you know, the jails. You have state prison, then you have county prison. Well, people that are getting caught for breaking into somebody's home are doing county time. So, for instance, let's say someone gets caught for committing a residential burglary. He or she goes to court, and she is sentenced or he is sentenced. Let's say, you know, a judge, you know, feels that he should be doing a year, which in the past, a year was unheard of. You know, you were doing state time if you committed a residential burglary. Now they're doing county time, and they're doing a year. Well, the average person committing a residential burglary is doing 10% of the time. Mm. So if we just do the simple math, 365 days, let's say you get sentenced to a year, right? He's getting 36 days, 10%. And if he's doing good time, meaning like, hey, you know what, he behaved or she behaved, they're doing half of that. So they're out in 15 days. So our bad guys know that the risk versus the reward is very, very minimal.
So when we're talking about burglaries now, we're talking about the crime where you're at work, your children are at school, everything is okay. There's no one at home except Fido, and hopefully they've got a heart. They're not going to hurt Fido. They're looking for things to make them money. They don't want to hurt people because they know if they hurt people, then they're going to do big time if they get caught. So this is a calculation. Now, they get to steal things. They get to make money. They get to put money away, hide it with their friends or relatives, and then they do 30 days in county.
If 30 days in county, you're absolutely correct. It's very, very frustrating, especially for the law enforcement side, and, you know, obviously for the victims that are being targeted. Mm. You know, so as law enforcement, you know, we saw this coming. You know, our prior chief, Chief John New, saw this in the horizons, you know, a year and a half ago, and he knew that this was coming. So the Torrance Police Department actually took a real proactive approach mm-hmm. in trying to combat that. So, you know, he started an internal task force and a regional task force in the South Bay specifically to see if we can target that stuff. And right. and what we saw last year was a slight increase, obviously, all the way countywide. But it's still increasing because it's getting out there. The crooks know that if they commit these crimes, that they're going to do very minimal time. And even our city prosecutors are very, very frustrated. You know, when we take these guys into custody, they're not looking to stay in custody to fight this. They're just taking a plea bargain because they'd rather just do that, take the plea, spend the time in the jail, and then get out as soon as possible. Because you have to understand, let's say they want to plea not guilty. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I want to say that I did not do this crime. They may stay 30, 40 days in jail waiting for the trial. They'd rather just say, hey, I'll take the plea and I can get out sooner.
Well, normally, we talk about criminals not being too bright. I mean, you know, you're committing
right.
crimes as a living. So,
right.
But this is what you're talking about is the rise of the social network where criminals are getting educated by their peers through Facebook and other
things. Yes. Yes. I mean, there's a lot of investigative tools that that our police department, and I'm sure other police departments use to, you know, find out about certain crimes. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we, through social media, try to get out to the public, you know, hey, what to look out for. But I can guarantee you that the bad guys are doing the same thing.
Wow. This is quite an education. Okay, so now, Chris, before we went on air, there were a couple of events that had occurred recently that I want you to talk about. In particular,
Sure. One
particular community event where someone was taken into custody. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I can give you some details. You know, at the city of Torrance, you know, and I know Jackie has been part of this, we really rely on our community to be our eyes and ears out there. You know, in the past, you know, maybe years ago, the culture was a little bit different, you know, but with the increase of all these residential burglaries, we really count on our community to help us out, you know, and so we go out there, our community affairs division really goes out there on a one-on-one basis as a group through social media, and we're really trying to push Neighborhood Watch. We're really trying to educate the public on what to look for when it comes to these residential burglaries. So yesterday, a very alert citizen while driving down in the south end of Torrance was checking on a house that her grandma lives, and she just does this, you know, just to check up on grandma, God bless her. And as she was driving down the house, she saw two subjects walking down the street. It was relatively early, but you know what? When I asked her, I'm like, hey, what drew you to them? It just didn't look right. You know, they looked nervous. They seem to be wandering the area. Hard to explain, but I just wasn't sure. So she drives by the house. She looks in her rear view, and she sees these two subjects, like, darting between, you know, these two houses. So she flips a U-turn, sees that they are not there anymore, calls the police, gives us a great description of the two subjects that she saw in the general area that she saw them last. So officers arrived, and as soon as officers arrived, we made contact with both, and they took off running, so a short foot pursuit ensued. We got on the air, and like Torrance always does, God bless us, you know, we got the whole world rolling. Mm-hmm. We were able to set up a perimeter. We were able to gather the assistance. I believe it was Los Angeles Sheriff's Department's helicopter. We got a couple canines, and subsequently, we got the two in custody. But here's the kicker. This is how good this girl is. You know, she also describes, she goes, you know, when I saw those two, I saw another person in a car that was right down the street, and that looked really, really weird, too. And we're like, what does the car look like? Well, like a lot of these residential burglars do, she gave a description of the car, and we found that car, which was occupied by four other people. So we had a total of six in custody. Six were there to commit a residential burglary, and she did a great job, an absolutely great job.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, it's the right at the top of the show, Jackie, see something, say something. That's an amazing example, because you do not want to approach individuals like this. You merely want to observe and report. And without being too obvious about it, she obviously did it in a way that protected her own safety and got the job done.
Yeah, she did an unbelievable job. Just the idea that she's able to look at all these things just goes to show that, you know, if you're an alert citizen and you're being very observant, you know, you, just another example. And we have countless examples of that, you know, at least in the city of Torrance, and I'm sure around South Bay. And it's those people that understand that there's that increase and we have to look out for each other. So if we can just spread that word more and more, then, you know, obviously I think the bad guys have something coming to them. And that's, and you hit it right on the nose. I mean, when we knew that there was going to be an increase in residential burglaries, you know, we, you know, the Torrance Police Department started this campaign of the See Something, Say Something campaign, and we actually brought it out on National Night Out, you know, last year. So it's taken effect. People are starting to know about it. We have a video that kind of explains AB 109. It explains the See Something, Say Something video. And what it really explains is the importance of community involvement through Neighborhood Watch.
Right, right. That's wonderful. And so how do you publicize that? How do more people know about both AB 109 and See Something, Say Something? How do they?
Yeah, well, there's a few. Obviously, if you live in the city of Torrance, you know, we would like you know, to become a part of Neighborhood Watch, and we talk about that. But for your listeners, if you go to www.safeandsecuretorrance.com, I'll just give you that one more time, www.safeandsecuretorrance.com. It's all one word. You can see that video. It's a great video. It's an informational video. It's actually something that we at the Torrance Police Department produced and directed. We have an officer, Jason McDonald, who does videos like this, and he kind of produced, directed it, and it came out. And I know other agencies are using that video to educate their public as well.
Wow!
I saw that video yesterday. It is very well done. Short, sweet, to the point. Very good.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's perfect. Great.
Yeah, George put it out on his Facebook page.
I did.
Well,
I did that.
You know, George and I had a brief conversation. You know, we've never met, and I told George about how, you know, we would like to start using volunteers, basically, you know, all volunteers, whether that's Torrance volunteers, you know, Manhattan Beach, you know, South Bay, to assist us in crime prevention. And so I'm looking forward to actually working with George and other CERT programs and to educate them not only about, obviously, emergency preparedness, but just about crime prevention as well. I think that volunteer groups are a resource that is that hasn't even been tapped into yet, and I'm hoping to maybe get that going.
Right.
It was interesting on the video. There was one point in that video you made where there was an older couple being interviewed, and the woman said that years ago when they were raising their children, she said everybody on the block, all the mothers were always out, you know, on the street, and everybody knew everybody else. She said it just isn't that way anymore. You know, people have to work, right? But it's true. After seeing that, I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, I said – during the day, everybody on my block is at work. You know, there's not a bunch of moms with kids running around playing in the street or anything. It's funny, at night when I drive home, the street is packed with cars, but during the day there are no cars on the street because everybody's gone.
Right.
And I, Jack, you hit it on the nose. When I talk to Neighborhood Watch, when I talk in Neighborhood Watch meetings, I always talk about that specific comment because, you know, I'm 47 years old, and when I was, 15, years of age, and I lived in the city of Torrance, the culture was so much different back then. You know, I mean, we, as in all my friends, I had 15 kids on the block. Mm. And back there, the culture was, for the most part, your father was working, and mom stayed home and took care of the house and the children. So, I jokingly say that I had like 10 moms. They all knew who the kids were. They all knew we were sitting on the block. And all moms knew who belonged in that neighborhood and who was a guest and who was not. And if someone did, enter the neighborhood, I can guarantee you that three or four of the moms, saw them walking down the street. And if it was something that maybe bothered them, they certainly called. And that's just not like that anymore. We just have kind of developed a culture where we want to be left alone, per se. Maybe we're not as social as we used to be. And, we have to change that culture out there. I know that people want their privacy, but there's a difference between having privacy and knowing your neighbors. And that's really, really a huge part of Neighborhood Watch, is knowing your neighbors, knowing who should be home, knowing who should not be home, and just looking out for each other.
Right.
That's funny that you say about 10 moms, and each one of them could grab you by the ear and drag you back to your house, right?
I jokingly say that I must have been swatted by at least 5 of them.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, no, it's a huge cultural change. I understand the cultural change, but it doesn't mean that we can't change it ourselves to be more active in the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
We talk a lot about the change in the culture, and it's time that we reverse that and get back to a point where people know each other and people have block parties and people close off the street and get to know their neighbors, because that's the bedrock of safety, is knowing who should and shouldn't be there and being able to speak up, see something, say something. That's the bedrock of safety. Because how many officers are there in Torrance PD in total?
Well, we have approximately 233 officers.
Okay.
233. But you have to understand, not all officers are in patrol. We have some that are working community affairs. We have some that are working communications, detectives, motors. But in patrol, we're looking about 80.
The finest 80 police officers in Torrance, California. And how many residents do we have?
Well, here's the thing. We're looking at about generally about 150,000 residents, but we triple, if not quadruple, during work time hours just because of the industry that we have here.
Right. So the scale, it's clear. PD, FD, fire department, and other first responders are there to help in need, to help in those extreme cases that their expertise and their training is applicable. But In general, we need to look out for ourselves. We need to be the eyes and the ears of the professionals. And this is something that I don't know. I know that you guys talk a lot about it, but I don't think the general public gets it really or focuses on the fact that, you know, we have to help. We have to help Torrance PD.
Absolutely. And I always say this in my talks. You have to understand that. Let's just talk about the city of Torrance, right? You've got approximately 26 square miles, okay? Right. The Torrance Police Department, at least the chief, we did a huge analysis years ago to try to figure out when the most calls for service are during the day, right? So we do this huge analysis. We collect all this data, and we figure out, okay, most calls for service – crime, all in general, occurred during this time. So what does our chief do? He manipulates the schedule so the most amount of officers are working at the most amount of time that the crimes are occurring.
Right.
So it's a good concept, right? You know, so just for sake of argument, and I always tell this to our neighbors in our community, let's say, you know, you've got six, let's even make it better. Let's say you got 10 patrol officers, and that's probably a stacked shift. You got 10 patrol officers. You've got, you know, I'm going to even stack this. You've got 10 motors, right, motor officers on their bikes. You've got a couple of supervisors. You've got parking enforcement. You're looking at best maybe 30 cars, right? 30 cars in a 26 square mile area. So when I say 30, let's just times that by two. So you're looking at 60 eyes looking for bad guys in the city of Torrance, 26 square miles. But you have to also understand that this is out of those 60 eyes, let's say 15, maybe 20 are actually handling calls. Right? So now you've got 40 eyes looking. And I'm sure, you know, maybe, you know, five of those eyes are, or six of those eyes are arresting somebody. You know, a couple other are taking reports. It starts diminishing the amount of officers that are actively looking for criminals. Right. Now, with that said, we're really good, I like to think that the city of Torrance is very proactive because the community gives us that ability to be so. Mm-hmm. But we're now you're looking at, 20 eyes and 26 square miles, and we catch a lot of bad guys. But what we have learned, at least through the Community Affairs Division, is you know who catches these guys? Is these alert citizens. They're the ones that call and say, hey, this is not looking that great. You know, this seems a little bit weird. And when they call, you know, and we check on them, two things are going to happen. Either it's not a crime or they just prevented one. And so we're trying to educate the public because we're a customer service-based organization. If someone feels that something's wrong, they need to call us. And that's what we're trying to do is educate the public not to be afraid to call the police department.
Right. I you're on speed dial on my phone as well as
Joe, you don't live in Torrance.
No, but I long ago...
Hey, just call us anyways. We'll come.
I long ago got, you know, Torrance PD, Manhattan PD, Hermosa PD on my phone. There have been cases, not lately, but there have been cases where I'd want to call the police department. I always say, hello, this is not an emergency. Mm-hmm. I'm reporting something. Or I'm talking about something. Who knows what it could be? But they are so good. Our police departments throughout the South Bay are so good at handling different kinds of issues. You know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. We've got a really good South Bay group, and we all work very, very well together to accomplish one goal, and that's to try to keep the community safe.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking, is it Rusin?
Yes, Chris Rusin.
Chris Rusin. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Chris Rusin, Torrance PD, Sergeant Chris Rusin, with the Torrance Police Department, and we're having a great conversation about community and culture, and how we can turn things around to minimize the chance of people losing property and certainly more serious things. Give us a call if you want to ask Chris a question or make a comment. Please give him a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also like to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank?
Oh, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
Yes, indeed.
Another way to get prepared. Prepared
yes.
For tax season.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Now, I have to tell you guys. I called the police the other night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was driving home Thursday night. I had gone to the gym, and as I turned onto my street, I thought, wow, it's dark. There must be no moon tonight. And as I got further in the street, I'm like, this is different. And I realized that every single street light was out. And then I looked in the homes to see if the lights were on. I thought maybe there was a power outage, but there wasn't. All the lights were on both sides of the street. But every street light was out for 3 blocks.
Right.
It was very strange. So I just called and left a message saying, it's dark out here.
Well, if I may, I don't talk much, but when I do, I normally have never mind. This last week, see something, say something. In Manhattan Beach, there was what appeared to be a botched carjacking or vehicle theft. And when upon my arrival back home, there were, I don't know, roughly 7-8 blocks that were all blocked off. We had helicopters flying around, and they were going door to door. I'm going to assume I didn't get inside, and I didn't want to go outside, and I told all of my neighbors to lock your doors just because we were roughly a block and a half or so away. And what happened, there was apparently that within the cordoned off area, the person had managed to slip through. But 2 blocks up the road later, up the street, and on a block of the 1400 block of 10th Street, where one of my CERT students was now the neighborhood watch block captain, one of their neighbors got a knock on the door. Somebody had left. My friends left me at the beach. May I use your telephone? No, but they used the telephone. They called the police. And apparently there were still a whole bunch of them that hadn't left the area yet, because it didn't take long for them to get down there and get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but Jackie, what you and Chris have not talked about was your actual neighborhood watch meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to hear about the famous meeting.
That story is making the rounds. Boy, oh boy. Last week, Tuesday, we had our neighborhood watch meeting for our block. And we were all in the people that hosted it down on the corner, and I don't know, 15, 20 people in attendance, and I think there were about six officers there. And I don't know, I guess about what, half hour into the meeting, we all heard the scream. And we looked at each other, and a couple of people asked, is that a TV? And then there was another scream, and all the police went running out the door. And apparently there was a man assaulting a woman. Is that correct, Chris?
Well, not physically assaulting, but the man was trying to stop his girlfriend from walking away, and she was screaming, like, to leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you.
So,
that guy was obviously detained to make sure that the female was okay. And based on what he had on his possession, and he went to jail.
Yeah.
So needless to say, the neighborhood watch meeting was delayed just a few minutes.
Actually, it wasn't even that long. It happened like this. I guess because all you guys had your different things you needed to talk about, so didn't you call in other police officers to come and take him away?
Yeah, actually, we got there. We figured out what the problem was. I called a patrol officer, and then, you know, service officers Zipkowski and Officer Kelly McCarthy. We just sent them in to you guys and said, "Hey, start your portion of the meeting, and I'll be there in a few minutes." So it didn't take too long, but I got to be honest with you, that's the first that you know, that's happened to me. Not too often, someone basically jumps in your lap, you know, and begs to be arrested. And in that case, that pretty much happened.
Yeah, she was screaming, though. It was like she was really screaming.
She was extremely loud, without a doubt.
Now, going back to what Joe said about criminals not being known to be particularly bright, how he missed the SUV police cruiser out on the street, I have no idea.
I think it was because of your the dark street you were talking about.
And, you know, along with see something, say something in Manhattan Beach, we talk about lock it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the same thing in there. And the majority of our crimes, the majority of our stupid crimes, and at that point, stupid losses, are residential problems. And it's an education that we need to, you know, transmit to our residents, our neighbors, that, you know, don't leave something out for somebody to walk up and grab either. Lock your doors. I grew up in upstate New York. There were 500 people that lived in an area that was, you know, probably close to 20 square miles maybe. And, you know, we never locked our doors. So you could probably still go to New Zealand and not have to lock your door. But around here with AB 109, we in the South Bay and our great cities are surrounded by some less affluent neighborhoods, and people like coming to our neighborhoods because they think they're going to be able to get more. In a disaster, when things start to get really tight and tough out there, where are these people going to come? So, hunker down, take care of our cities, and see what we do. It's an education that we all need to work on for all of our people.
George, you hit a good point there. If your listeners watch the information video, you know, safeandsecuretorrance.com, our chief makes a really good point, and he says that 70% in the city of Torrance, 70% of our Part 1 crimes or big crimes are committed by offenders who live outside our city. And that holds true for a lot of the South Bay agencies. So, you know, I think, because of the police force that the South Bay, that is protecting the South Bay, you know, some community members, some citizens have this false sense of security, and that's kind of nice to an extent, but we also have to remind people that there are criminals there that are opportunists, and if you give them the opportunity to make you a victim, they're going to take it. So you hit the nail on the head. You know, as much as we'd like to keep, you know, doors unlocked, whether that's your vehicles or your house, again, based on the circumstances, you know, we think AB 109 is a big part of that, is that it's not the right time to keep your doors unlocked on your vehicles. It's time to make sure that we're looking out for each other.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. I've been out here. I've lived out here for 30 years now. But I'm originally from New York, Chris, so I never had that problem about locking things up. When my husband takes the trash out, I lock the door behind him.
And you don't let him in anymore, do you?
Yeah.
I think you might be the one we're getting calls on all the time.
I've lived out here on the West Coast since 85, so I've committed to the West Coast, but I'm from Chicago. And the exact opposite occurred for me. In my neighborhood in Chicago, when this was in the 70s, you didn't care about locking your door. No one would come on our street that didn't belong there and not get noticed. And they knew that they were getting noticed. People would actually ask them, "Do you belong here? Why are you on this street?" So this is where I come from. When I come in Chicago, we had good neighborhoods. Chicago is a city of neighborhoods. That's how we called ourselves, right? You knew where you belonged, and you knew where you didn't belong, and you didn't go there.
Well, and I'd like to reiterate for the listeners out there, we have a really, really great community. And when I mean we, as in the South Bay, the police officers are unbelievable, and we're doing the best we can. And when I say, you know, lock your doors and lock your residence, I say that out of precaution, not because I feel like, you know, the world's, you know, ending. It's just that, again, we have bad guys that are driving around the neighborhoods, and they're looking for opportunities. And you just want to limit yourself from being a victim.
Right. Opportunities. They're looking for crimes of opportunity. If there's a laptop in a car and the door is not locked, that's easier than the laptop in the car where the door is locked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we always tell people, you know, hide your items in your vehicle. If you plan on going someplace where you're going to park your car and you want to put something in the trunk, you know, don't put it in the trunk after you park your car, you know, at that place. You know, if you're going to put something in the trunk, we're saying put it in the trunk before you get there, because people may be watching, and if they see you put something in the trunk, they're going to say, hey, that's got to be pretty valuable.
Right.
You know, if you're going to keep it in your car, stick it underneath the seat, hide it, you know, for people that are maybe walking by and looking inside your car. And by all means, like you said earlier, lock your door.
Right. It's the little things, isn't it? The simple things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Something that we as residents can easily do to help keep ourselves safe and keep our property safe and help out the PD. I mean, the police department can't do it all. They can sometimes be there when there's a woman screaming outside, but that's not normal. That's just not normal.
Well, and I like to tell you this is, you know, we talk about the See Something, Say Something campaign, and there's been a lot of success stories. I mean, we're getting people that are calling, and, you know, when we talk to the person that reports an incident, you know, more often than not, we're getting, oh, yeah, you know, I've seen that See Something, Say Something video, and that's what drew me to do this. But we're also not having success stories. We're also having people who are observing crime in their neighborhood and they're not calling. And then they, you know, I ask, why didn't you call? And, you know, and I get asked that from the public. Is there a reason why people are not calling? And to be honest with you, sometimes they don't know why they're not calling. You know, they're, they, you know, we've had honest to God, we've had witnesses see a neighbor, their neighbor that they know, you know, a car back in, and people who do not belong in that area removing property, put in the car and leaving, and they're basically telling us, yeah, I didn't look right, you know, I just wasn't sure. And, well, why didn't you call? I don't know. I wasn't sure. Hmm. And we're just trying to tell anybody, if it just doesn't look right and you see something that you think you should report, please call us. The worst thing that can happen is we go over there and it's legitimate. But
right.
The best thing that can happen is you're preventing a crime.
Right.
Exactly. We had something similar to that. It came out in one of our Neighborhood Watch reports. And, you know, somebody tried to break into a home. The woman made some noise. They went away. And then an hour later, she called the police.
Right.
Why wait an hour?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I really don't. And it's frustrating from us. You know, I've gone to a neighborhood watch meeting, and we talk about these type of scenarios. And this is the honest to God truth. We had one neighborhood watch talk about, well, like today, you know, I saw this gold, you know, older Cadillac with these really nice rims, and they were coming up and down you know, the street, and they were there. They must have drove by 5 or 6 times. And then, you know, one of our officers go, did it have a white rag top? Yes. You know, and how long were they? Oh, they were here for like, you know, 30 minutes. And I kept watching back, and I go, you didn't call the police? No. Well, we found out that car was involved in 4 burglaries later on that day.
Again,
you know, I mean, you don't know. They could just be looking for opportunities. And there's no doubt in my mind that when we stop a crew of burglars, we're not just preventing that one, we're preventing many others.
Right. Well, Chris, we're thankful to have you on the show. We appreciate your participation and educating the public like this. Thanks so much for joining us, Chris.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sergeant Chris Rusin from Torrance PD, and he's going to be with us. But at this point, George is going to make a few announcements. George, what's going on out there?
It's going to rain.
Okay.
Make sure you slow down and you adjust your speed so we keep the accidents down.
Right.
Drive slower. It's down the road here tomorrow, maybe. But let's talk about next Tuesday. Our guest next Tuesday is Lindy Hermantz. She is the Director of Marketing and Business Development for the Del Amo Fashion Center. And this last Saturday, they had a health and safety festival. The American Red Cross, the CHP, the USC Healthcare Burn Center, the TSA, a number of people took part in this to enhance and spread the wealth and share their knowledge. So they're going to come in and we're going to talk about what they've done. This is not the first year that they've done it. So we're going to discuss that. Down the road on April 1st, our director of Area G, which is the South Bay's Los Angeles County area, for disaster management, Jeff Robinson will be along to talk about social media and disasters, and he is actually starting to put together a group of people, and Jackie, you may be interested in this, or even Joe.
Now,
to
George,
help
don't go
build.
Don't go volunteering my time.
No, this is to build, you know, and put together a social media network of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that'll be the coming down on the 1st. That's what we have coming up on our next two shows. I will say that the Manhattan Beach's American Red Cross Emergency Medical Response Training is going well, and we are preparing to put together one or two more Red Cross First Aid CPR AED classes within the next couple of months also.
Right. This is something that we don't talk about enough. What can people do to protect themselves? I just feel that, you know, I don't feel that it's common sense. For some reason, we've lost that common sense. Chris, what is, do you think, the ultimate solution to getting more people to do what we're talking about here, see something, say something? In Europe, in Britain in particular, we have a house guest, actually, that is going back to Britain soon. They have CCTV cameras on every corner in most public areas. There is an eye in the sky watching at all times. Is that the solution?
Big brother at its best, huh?
Yeah. Is that the solution for Torrance PD?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the solution for Torrance PD is. You know, we talked about this earlier. You know, we talk about all the new technology that has been increasing, and, you know, that obviously is a benefit in certain aspects in law enforcement. You know, we talk about, you know, cameras. We talk about audio, you know, equipment. We talk about, you know, new non-lethal force weapons that we're using. So, yeah, technology is certainly a plus. But, you know, I'm kind of from the old school, and as much as we're, like, using social media, which is very, very helpful because of the busy lifestyles that we lead. I know I'm kind of old school, and like I want to meet the public. I want to reach out to them. I want face-to-face contact, and this is something that we, as in the Torrance Police Department, are trying to get a hold of. And actually, what I talked to George a little bit about is, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had Operation Lookout, where in a one-week span, I got like 80 volunteers, mostly from CERT, our Terra group, you know, and our ADT group, and we went out to the residents and we passed out multiple flyers, not in their, you know, to their door. We knocked on doors and we wanted that face-to-face to say, did you know there's a rise in residential burglaries? Do you know what to look for? Are you a part of Neighborhood Watch? And what I'm looking to do is, if I can reach every citizen in the city of Torrance, which I know is a big goal, right, you know, that's how I think we educate people. That, I think, is the best thing to do. I think it brings back that culture that we were talking about. But more or less, I know in my heart that I've contacted each one of them. It's a long goal. You know, I know that George and I are going to talk about that, not just for the city of Torrance, but Manhattan Beach, you know, PV, all our South Bay agencies. I think that with that CERT group, and our Tara and all our volunteers coming together as one, it's attainable. At least I believe it is.
Right. Wow, this is great. This is, I agree. It is attainable. We can be much better than we are, and it can become the norm that people look out for each other. And when they see something unusual, they don't even think about it. They just call Torrance PD and talk to a staff officer there. They know the difference between an emergency and just information, and they have the resources and the connections that they can get that information to the right people. You do not have to be afraid of calling the police. I think that's what the problem is. People are afraid.
Yeah, I get that all the time. I really don't. I'm sure that's part of it. You know, and we just got to change that culture. No, again, we are a customer service-based organization. Our job is to protect and to serve. And I reiterate this, protect the community and serve the community. And we cannot serve the community just based on what we observe. So we're relying on the public to tell us, hey, this doesn't look right, come over here. And if we can educate people not to hesitate, not to have any concerns about calling us, not to feel bad about calling us, I think we can really combat these issues.
I think there is something different about living here in the South Bay, though, Chris, and I'd like you to comment on that, because living in Hermosa, before I bought my first home in Hermosa, I actually was looking at renting a house from Tommy Thompson, who's in the Hermosa Beach PD. And we became friends, and I began to know other people in the Hermosa Beach PD, and George knows several people in the Manhattan Beach PD. I mean, there's a different relationship here in the South Bay with our first responders, PD, and fire department, than people who live in Los Angeles, perhaps, who only have the sheriffs. There is no, you know, PD for their local community. And that's part of the sort of financial reality that many communities live in. Do you think that's part of the situation, that people just simply don't have an opportunity to get to know their local police departments?
Well, you know, I think it really comes down to the culture of certain things. I mean, and we have what's called a partners in policing class. And what we do is we have the community, you know, in the city of Torrance, sign up for this class, and it's a 12-week class that we house actually inside our police department. In those 12 weeks, we have 12 different topics. We have our forensic unit talk about what they do. We have our detectives talk about what they do. Our undercovers talk about what they do. So 12 weeks of education. You know, and then we bring this whole class how to, you know, fire a gun. You know, we bring them to our pursuit training. And we, as in police officers, and it's my division that holds it, talks to them on a daily basis. And I really do this for two specific reasons. Number one, they need to know what we do other than just driving a car. But most importantly, I try to bring that human side of being a police officer, meaning that when we walk in some place, they see a uniform, they see a bulletproof vest, they see us, you know, carrying guns and weapons, and they just have this perception of who we are. But the reality of it is I bleed red, I have a heart, and I put my pants on just like everyone else does. And if I can educate the public that we're just normal people trying to help out, then I think we're going to get more dialogue during our contacts. You ever hear of the red dot, blue, green dot syndrome? If one police officer has a bad contact with a citizen, it'll take 10 contacts to erase that negative one. So I always tell the people that I supervise, I always tell the officers, you know what, your first initial contact is so important, make it a positive one. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sure that these citizens know that we are just normal people.
Right. it's something that we're going to continue to have to work on, and it's a thrill to have contact with police officers, law enforcement officers like yourself, Chris, that are out there giving a message of community and support. We love to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
And I appreciate everything that you guys are doing and educating the public. And I do appreciate the opportunity to talk to not only you three, but your listeners out there.
It's been a great show. Thank you, George, for today.
Thank you. Chris, do you have some, if somebody from Torrance wants to get a hold of you, did I miss that? Did we cover that?
Contact info. Let's put out the contact.
Contact info. Well, obviously, if you want to contact the Torrance Police Department and it's a non-emergency, 310-328-3456, and obviously 911, not only for our police department, but for any police department. If there's anything from community affairs that we can help you on, 310-618-6391.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's been great, and we really appreciate it. And this is why we live in the South Bay. We have an opportunity to really engage with our local community leaders, the mayors and the city council members. We have an opportunity to engage with all of the personnel that run the city, but also we have an opportunity to engage with our police departments and our fire departments, and that's a great privilege. I feel that certainly in Hermosa that people really feel that the police and the fire are integrated into the community in a very important way. So we're glad to have them on the show. And thank you very much, Jackie, for joining us.
Always a pleasure. And Officer Rusin, thank you for keeping the block safe.
You're more welcome.
All right.